January is here, and I'm joined by Rhonda Reif, and Rhonda joins me each month. We talk about ways to live with the seasons, ways to, I guess, appreciate alternative methods of healing and other ways to feel better and try to feel better in January, especially after a year that we've just had has been a challenge, but Rhonda's joining. But we're going to talk a little bit about the month of the bath, and we'll also talk a little bit about what does 2021 portend for us to be. To Rhonda Reif. Rhonda, good morning to you today.
Hi, Steve. I have to tell you, when you said, oh, today is Tuesday, my mind went back to the Mickey Mouse Club. Today is Tuesday. You know what that means. We're going to have a special guest. So I was singing that in my head. It's just kind of funny because with COVID, we do have to stop and think what day it is, you know? Crazy.
It has been anything but a usual or a typical year. And we're dealing with a lot of issues right now in the transition. I called 2021. 2020 was sort of, I called it the dumpster fire year because things seemed to be never getting any better. They seemed to be getting worse and always more restrictions and more things to deal with. But we should see this year being in a transitional year, starting off a bit turbulently. But you said that's part of its part of the expectations. Is that right?
Well, you know, for people who've listened to my show before, they know that I'm this numbers person, and I believe absolutely that numbers can communicate with us. Pythagoras proved that with his mathematical theorems. And so last year was 2020, which was a 4-year. 2 + 2 = 4. And this year is 2021, so that adds up to a 5. So each year then has a special significance, and 4 is all about hard work, being stable, dependable. Think of the square, you know, it's got 4 equal sides. It's all about being predictable, hardworking, go to the grindstone. It's about building things. So last year we saw that. We saw all of those challenges with, you know, sort of sticking to rules and following through and thinking of new ways to maybe earn income or do our job or communicate with people. And so that happened, and now we've transitioned to the year of the 5. So that is all about risk, change, variety, travel, courage, and freedom. And so being in January, that makes us a 1 month. So it's all about new beginnings and starting new things. So you're going to start to see those kinds of things that are going to pop up, or people are going to demand those kinds of things. And we talked a little bit before we went on the air about how, you know, last week with the way that the invasion of the Capitol building and all of that, all of those things were about freedom and courage and, you know, travel and variety. You know, you're seeing people get kicked off no fly list, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on with that. And, you know, whether they believed in their mind they were doing the right thing, because that's what they thought, is that that was going on. So in their minds, they were thinking that they were standing up for freedom and courage. But then we have to take a look at other things that are going on as well. But that theme is going to follow us through the whole year, where you're going to see things where people are going to demand that maybe restrictions are lessened, or maybe people are going to start to travel more. Now, it might not be, you know, in groups on planes or trains, but you're going to see that sort of wanderlust is going to happen. And it's because we've been pent up. You know, we've been in that square, that box all last year, you know, with very little relief of doing other things. And so this is going to be a very volatile year. It's going to create a lot of change. You're going to see a lot of, you know, businesses that are either going to have to change how they do business, or they're going to go out of business. A lot of new businesses will be created. And so this year is, although 2020 seemed to be, you know, unpredictable and hard and, oh, my gosh, what's next, the five-year is going to be even more unpredictable. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that you're going to see things that are going to just get, it's like the snow globe getting shaken up. And that's where we're going to be. That's where we're going moving forward. And, of course, in January, it's about new starting new things and doing new things. In February, it'll be about relationships, partnerships, working with others. In March, it'll be, again, about creative pursuits and freedom and you know, doing things that are sort of fun. And then in April, we're going to see that we're going to have to go back to maybe being a little bit more structured and hard work. And so look out, though, for May, because May is a 5-month in the 5-year. So May is going to be really full of lots of changes and shifts and those kinds of things. So it's just, you know, everybody said, oh, 2021 will be better. Well, you have to believe it's going to be better, but I am going to tell you it's going to be different. So there's going to be lots of things, and you're going to have to change and be flexible.
My my own prediction when at the beginning of the year was that 2021 was a transition year, but in terms of really another year to get through, and that things will be improving, but they're going to be improving in a slower and a, I guess what a longer rollout of this vaccine, a longer rollout of all of this, the return to normal. Normal is going to be what I would say it should be pretty close by the fall and certainly by the holidays of this coming year. But that's a long time away, and we've been pent up for a long time. But I think you're right. I think when we finally are released from this this pent up sort of closed in and coronavirus situation, there'll be a sense of relief, and there will also be a sense of pent up demand to do the things that we used to do that we didn't take we took for granted, the things we took for granted in 2019.
Yes.
We're not going to take them. When we get them back, we will not take them for granted. But we're going to be cautious. I think that's probably the way I would see, and especially when you're saying unpredictable, yeah, I think it's going to take a while to sort of release that anxiety that we have about social gatherings, and when that finally is around, then we can say normal is here. Not new normal. Normal is here. Let's change the topic a little bit. The year of the bath. It is January, and what is it? It is the bath month. Is that right?
It's bath safety month, and you know, the thing was is that, you know, I always look for things that are going on and how can I tie them into, you know, a health topic. So I got to thinking about Bath Safety Month. How long has that been around? And then that made me think, like, how long have baths been around? Like, have they always been around? And, you know, we also know that hygiene 100 years ago is not anywhere near what it was today. And so I thought, well, I'd do just a little research and kind of, you know, talk about the history of that. Of course, bath safety is, you know, don't have the water too hot and make sure you're not going to slip in the tub and have handrails and don't leave children unattended. But to take it a step further, it's really kind of got an interesting thing because the first documented thing about baths was actually by the ancient Indians that are Asian, like from India, and they used to bathe 3 times a day. So if you think back, you know, like pre-Christ century, then you're looking at how long ago that they were bathing 3 times a day, and then we, you know, go forward to the Middle Ages where people aren't bathing at all. So that made me curious, too. And so baths are used for a variety of things, water in general, and hygiene is the thing we think of the most. But it's also used a lot in religious rituals, and then it also has been discovered to have, you know, those therapeutic purposes. And it's interesting because then the research said that that's how the word sunbathing came about and also sea bathing, because those were two things that were actually also utilized in conjunction with actual therapeutic bathing. And, you know, it's just going back, the Greeks had, you know, running aqueducts and they did a lot of actual cleanliness and bathing things. The Romans had public baths. Then the Japanese in the 7th century, all of their Buddhist temples had actually bathhouses, and you had to have, you know, special permission to use the bathhouse. But it was used as believing, you know, sort of that cleanliness is important to get next to your spirituality and those things. And again, you know, in our own Christian belief, you know, they talk about cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, back in the, you know, 17th and 18th centuries, they actually believed that if you appeared clean, that that was a reflection of what your soul was and all that in Christianity. And prior to all of that, people used to bathe more, which I thought was interesting because most clothes were made out of wool. And so it was very hard to keep the wool clothes clean. So you wanted to make yourself clean so that your clothes stayed clean. Then linen came along in, you know, like the 17th century, late 17th, early 18th. And so it was much easier to wash linen clothing. So then it became where they washed the clothing rather than their bodies. So I thought that was interesting how, you know, we used to bathe more like centuries ago. Then they started to wash clothing. And another interesting thing is that it really wasn't until like the 18th century that people started actually using soap with baths. That was never something that was considered to do that. And then they also taught that, you know, during the linen era that you just washed your places that were exposed to people, face, hands, feet, necks, those kinds of things. And if those looked clean, then people assumed that you had this sort of righteousness or cleanliness or next to godliness. And so I just thought that was interesting. And the popes actually pressured people to take baths. Like they said that it's an important part of, you know, their Catholic beliefs and that people should bathe and you know, get this sort of like atonement kind of thing. And then in 1829 is when it actually started, where people started recognizing that there was a health benefit. Now, keep in mind, I want to tell you that the father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, he believed in bathing. So, you know, and that bathing was part of healing. So it isn't necessarily a new thought, but it's absolutely something that sort of came within our culture. And those were actually hydrotherapy, but they were cool baths. They weren't necessarily, you know, like what we would think of today in a hot tub or a spa or a sauna. It was more of a cool bath, cool water bath. And that became really popular throughout England and Ireland and all of Great Britain. And then that led to, which was interesting, they're actually creating a law where in England they developed swimming pools because they felt like, okay, well, we could have these sort of cool water pools for people to come and get exercise and all of that. So in 1846 was the first documentation for swimming pools actually
wow.
starting.
So the last year was an interesting, that is, you know, I think bath safety, obviously, but, you know, hey, wash off the old and get into the new. Maybe we can think of that as well as we move in through January into a new year. And I think the key thing to remember is that I believe it is a year of transition. It is a year that's going to have stress points, but it is a year that's going to be, I think, a much different end of the year than we are now. And 2022, how does that look in terms of what do those numbers mean? That would be a six, wouldn't it?
It would be a six, and it would deal about balance. Six is the most perfect number between 1 and 10. And when you look at a lot of things in nature, they have special things. They have a sixth significance, like a snowflake, you know, the uniqueness. But it's all about community and service. And then with the 3 twos like that, it deals with partnerships, relationships, and developing bonds. And so you're going to see that's when the pendulum is going to sort of swing back into, you know, where you're going to start seeing things that are more beneficial for society as a whole, however that looks to you.
All right. Good things are on the horizon. Get through this year, this transition year. Limit the stress, limit the anxiety. Get through this year and watch it get better as we move through the year. That's really our hope and that's our prayer. And again, Rhonda, if they want more information about you and about anything else that you have, what do they do? They can call you on the phone, right?
Yes, they can call me at 319-752-0175. Or they can find me on Facebook, Rhonda Reif, R-E-I-F as in Frank. They can email me at Holistic Horizons. Or they can go to Life Pathways LLC, and there's a form they can fill out to contact me and stuff, too. And I just wanted to finish with the baths. The healing benefits of those baths are it helps injuries. It also helps addictions, which I thought was interesting. And then relaxation, of course, is the number one thing, which, of course, you as well as I know, stress and relaxation, you know, it helps when you're stressed out. So, and then, you know, I have a variety of spa products that you could use in the baths. But if they want to contact me, we can talk more about that, or they can find me on Facebook or however it works for them.
All right, fantastic. Rhonda, have a great month of January. We'll talk to you again in February, okay?
Okay, thanks, Steve.